What is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Overstated NBA Show. I am solo today. Actually, I'm not solo. I'm here with producer Mikey. Brett is currently traveling. He came into San Diego earlier in the week, and he is now traveling back to the islands, Hawaii. God, I'm very jealous that he gets to do that and live out there. That's very, very cool. But he didn't have his equipment with you, and we were thinking about doing some State of the Unions. But as you can probably tell, I am still under the weather, so I might cough a little bit during this episode. But I think I'm feeling a little bit better, but we shall see. So without further ado, producer Mikey, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm feeling pretty good. I'm kind of feeling bad for you at the rate you've been going lately. I feel like maybe even though we're just seeing each other like over Zoom and talking on podcasts, I feel like I might get sick from you at this point. We're going to be all right. We're going to move along. And yeah, we missed Brett this week, but we're happy to tackle a topic that I've been wanting to do. Actually, since before I actually joined the pod officially, I was bothering Steve about this one. He came back a few months ago and he did a little rundown pod just about every team in the East and his overall thoughts on them. And I remember kind of bugging him in text message like, dude, we need that West Coast follow-up. We need the West Coast follow-up. And it hasn't happened. They had enough going on, lots to talk about. And so finally, what do we got? Maybe 4 weeks left in the season, something like that.
Yeah, this is it's crazy, man. This is the last. We're in March. So it's March 9th right now. This is the last full month of basketball, regular season basketball, that we will have until next November.
Jesus Christ, I missed it already. But yeah, so it's taken that long. I finally got Steve to talk about the West. And what we're going to do is just hit each team pretty quickly. Some teams we'll spend a little bit more time on than others, obviously. But yeah, we're going to go by record. So what I'm going to do is introduce the teams, and we're just going to get Steve's thoughts on this so he doesn't have to run completely solo. He's got me here to bounce some stuff off of him. So we're going to start with the number one seed, the Denver Nuggets. Currently, the Nuggets are 46-20, 7 games ahead of the second-place team, the Kings. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. On the season, they are second in offensive rating and 11th in defensive rating. And yeah, tell the people how you feel about where the Nuggets are at currently and how you think they're going to fare for the rest of the season, Steve.
Well, I mean, this is obviously the team to beat. I think they were my I can't remember if it was them or the Clippers that I picked to come out of the West. But I mean, yeah, man, like you said, they've been dominating the whole way. They are 30-5 at home. They're 16-15 away from home, which is a little bit concerning because I'm not sure how many teams have actually won the NBA title with that big of a split between home and away. I think that's very interesting. And I mean, similar to some of the teams in the East, right? I think Philly comes to mind pretty quickly. The regular season with Denver, it matters for them because obviously you want home court, but really what matters is the playoffs, right? I mean, they had their run in the bubble, which whatever you want to call it, they made a Western Conference Finals. Granted, it was in the bubble. Who knows what would have happened? We all remember just the epic choke job by the Clippers being up 3-1 and losing that series, Jamal Murray playing out of his mind. But with Denver, it's all about the playoffs, and we talked about it on the last couple pods. They have to just be kind of, maybe not necessarily kicking themselves, but like, oh, what the hell, dude? Phoenix gets Kevin Durant. Now, obviously, he's hurt. We'll touch on that a little bit later, but it's all about the playoffs for them, and I think they have an added pressure. I'm not sure if they feel it. Who knows? Maybe they will, but I mean, the media is going to be all over this team if Jokic wins a third straight MVP and doesn't have a finals appearance, right? I think that if you win 3 straight MVPs, yes, it's a regular season award. Yes, he's more than deserving of it. But, you know, the other guys that had 3 straight MVPs, they made an NBA finals at the very least, right? So I think that for Jokic and for Denver, if they don't make it to the NBA finals this season, like I hate to say, it's a very big disappointment. And nobody from at least a defensive point of view has as much pressure on them as Nikola Jokic. Now, maybe it means something, maybe it means nothing. I mean, the last time we actually saw him in the playoffs, right? I mean, it was against Golden State. They played 5 out, and he was a beast offensively, but he didn't have a lot of help around him. And, you know, Golden State beat them up pretty good. So it's going to be interesting. I did happen to watch, I don't know if you did, the in this fluid NyQuil state that I'm in, watching some of the highlights, because I watched a little bit of it the next day. You know, Toronto really went at Nikola Jokic in that Denver-Toronto game, like repeatedly in the fourth quarter, trying to get something going. And they had some success doing that. So with Denver, it's all going to be about matchups, and it's all going to be about can Nikola Jokic hold his own defensively. Offensively, I don't know how you necessarily stop this team, especially with all the the talent that they have. Obviously, Nikola Jokic is just averaging a triple-double this season. He's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. Jamal Murray looks like he's coming around. Like, he's back into form. You have MPJ hitting shots. Like, they're legit, man. Like, they are legit. They deserve the one seed. But again, dude, it's similar with Philly to me. If we do an East one next week or in the next couple of days, like, they want home. They want the home court because their road record isn't as good as some of these other teams. But all that matters is the playoffs for them.
Yeah, just to bounce off what you said, they're matchup dependent. It could get pretty interesting for them pretty quickly. Currently, the eighth seed with tiebreakers and everything would be the Mavericks. It could potentially be, it could potentially be the Lakers, the Pelicans. Those are all teams that create problems with guards that can kind of go at him or wings that could go at him in pick and roll, which isn't his strength. And then it gets more interesting come the second round. He's either going to be looking at, as things stand right now, the Suns or the Warriors, and those teams are really going to look to put him to the test. But we'll move right along here onto the Sacramento Kings. Probably definitely the most fun story in the NBA this year. Everyone loves Light the Beam. It's crazy to look up and see the Sacramento Kings at second place in the West with just the way this year is going. They're currently 7 games below the one seed. They own the tiebreaker over Memphis, who they're tied with in the standings at 38-26. They're 7-3 in their last 10. And on the year, they're first in offensive rating, not surprising, all the way down at 25th in defensive rating. A couple interesting things about this team. According to mangamesloss.com, they're the healthiest team in the NBA this season. So they've been able to pile up with regular season wins, but I think everything comes down to how this team's going to fare in the postseason. And I want to get your thoughts on them and what you think they'll be able to do as far as postseason success goes.
Well, they're legit, man. They are definitely legit. And I think that you and Brett probably owe the Kings an apology, because I remember when we were talking about that on the last pod. I mean, you guys thought that they were going to kind of come tumbling down a little bit. And
actually, I want to just interrupt you. That pod was, I think we recorded that 2 weeks ago. And because of, life stuff and technical stuff.
Never got released.
Technically, life is difficult. And that pod didn't get released. And I was so happy it didn't, because they went on like a 6-game win streak or something after, and they like lit the league on fire. So I never had to publicly apologize, but I will tell you and publicly now that I have privately suffered from that one, because they look legit and kind of made me look silly.
Yeah, man. I mean, they're a legit team and they're fun. I think it's hands down that Mike Brown is going to be the coach of the year here. I don't even
know question
for debate anymore. And yeah, you look at some of their wins post All-Star break. I mean, I know, Portland kind of has its struggles, but they beat the Clippers, they beat the Thunder, and they're just kind of rolling these. They beat the Clippers again. Obviously, they had a tough loss to Minnesota. They lost by 4 last Saturday, but they just came back and beat the Pelicans, and they got a rough 3-game stretch coming up here. It's going to be very interesting, and they also head out east. A lot of these contenders, either the West Coast teams are heading out east or the East Coast teams are heading out west, but what is today? Today's Thursday, yeah. So they're playing the Knicks tonight. They're actually the late game. They get that at home, and then they go to Phoenix.
It's going to be a fun game.
Yep, go to Phoenix on Saturday and then come back on Monday and play Milwaukee. And then after that, on March 15th, that's a Wednesday, they play Chicago, Brooklyn, Washington, Utah, and then back at home against Boston and Phoenix. So we're going to learn a lot about them coming up here. But, if I was an older team, I would be very worried about playing the Sacramento Kings team. And I know everyone is kind of saying the exact opposite. I think the Kings have nothing to lose. They've never been there before. And they play very, very fast. As you said, their defensive rating is 25th, but their offensive rating is first. And they are fast. Very, very fast. And I know our good friend of the podcast, Court Tafoya, is – he's pretty worried, but we keep talking about, and we'll get to some of these teams later on, but the Lakers, Mavericks, Timberwolves, Clippers, like Golden State, even like we've been waiting for these teams to get it together the entire season. And we're here about some teams maybe have 16, 18, 19 games to go here. Mm-hmm. Like, we're in the final stretch and those teams still don't have it together. So if I was a Kings fan, successful season is number one, getting in the playoffs. First of all, I mean, if you lose in the first round, if you lose in 6 or 7, dude, there's nothing to, it's something to build on. But if you win a playoff series, whew, I mean, the sky's the limit, man, for that team. I really truly believe that. Now, I don't think they're going to come out of the West and be in the NBA finals, but I don't see any reason why they can't win a playoff series.
Yeah. It's funny, right before we hop in this pod, our mutual friend Sahil, reached out to us in a group chat we're in and kind of just asked about like what matchups in the first round we were most looking forward to. And I just kind of landed on like who else they're playing. And if the Kings are matched up with like, as it would stand right now, it would be the Timberwolves, but potentially they could have the Mavericks. And that would just be like a race to 150 every night. And I'm all the way in for that. I think they've answered a lot of questions about, you know, De'Aaron Fox all year has been just like a clutch god, but they've answered a lot of questions about eking out tough wins against these teams that on paper you would think they'd be overmatched against. So yeah, I'm super interested to see where they go and forward.
Harrison Barnes has been to an NBA final there before. He's won an NBA finals before. Mm-hmm. Like, and he's been solid this year too. Like they're just a solid team. And if I was one of these, all those teams that we've talked about that are below, yes, they've all been there before, right? You're talking about the Golden State Warriors. You're talking about the LA Clippers. You're talking about the LA Lakers. If they're going to get in, they're all old teams though too. Like the Kings are going to play very, very fast. And all these mm-hmm. playoff games, you know, you would expect it to be in the 120s, 130s, kind of maybe even the 140 range. Like they play very, very fast.
All right. Well, I'm going to move right ahead to the Memphis Grizzlies, tied in record with the Sacramento Kings. I believe the Kings own the tiebreaker as it stands right now, but the Grizzlies, 26-5 at home, 12-21 away. They are 5-5 in their last 10. We know they've been a strong defensive team all year. They're third in defensive rating right now. A couple notes about them. Still don't know much about the Ja Morant status. He's currently away from the team and kind of waiting to see how that shakes out. They've been hit lately by the injury bug. Steven Adams remains out for the remainder of the season with a postseason return likely. Brandon Clark out for the regular season and the postseason. So their front court has taken some hits. We know in the media and from a public relations standpoint, the team has taken hits in general. What do you think about the momentum that the Memphis Grizzlies are carrying into the postseason right now?
I mean, it's not good, man. I think that I hate to be kind of a little bit pessimistic here, but I think Memphis is done. Like, I don't even know if they're going to end up winning a playoff series. To your point, I mean, I cannot believe that the Steven Adams injury is looming this large. You know, we also have Brandon Clark is out for the season. Who knows with Ja Morant? We've talked about it privately. I have a feeling if David Stern was still around, like Ja Morant would be done for the season. That's definitely for sure. And who knows about next season? But yeah, I just think this team has been a shell of itself since they went on that massive run in late December, basically for the entire month of January. And yeah, man, we can, as much as we kind of joke about it, that Shannon Sharp Laker game like changed their season for whatever reason. And you just had, I mean, regardless of how you feel about it, you just had Draymond Green on his podcast just absolutely destroy Dylan Brooks.
Oh yeah, he fucking ethered him, man.
He ethered him, right, man? And you hear him go like, Memphis, if you want to know why you're not going to win a championship, it's because of that guy. And, you know, all the awesome, cool, fun stories that we've had about Memphis the last year, going into this year, up until, you know, probably the start of February, if we're being honest, it's just been bad. I don't know if this team is going to even win a playoff series. Like, just the drama around them, it's not good, man. And I guess shout out to Memphis, the ownership group in the front office for telling Ja that he's got to stay away. And, you know, obviously he's one of the best fun players in the league. I mean, he's 23 years old. This is the third issue with a gun that we've heard in probably the last month and a half. I understand the thing with the 19-year-old kid, I'm doing air quotes, happened over the summer. And a lot of people in Memphis knew that already. But, you know, you hear the report and all this other stuff. Like, it's just sad, man. I mean, I just saw the Powerade commercial. Nike has given him a shoe. Like, he's one of the most popular guys in the NBA. Like, I don't even know. I mean, this has nothing to do with the team's perspective from Memphis. But, I mean, if Ja Morant comes back, let's say he comes back, let's say he misses the next week or two. I mean, is he even going to be a shoe-in to make one of the all NBA teams? Like, this is like a really, really tough situation for them. And I do not like their postseason success at all going forward.
Yeah, the way I look at it, you know, if your star player takes an injury in the second half of the season or, you know, going into the postseason, a lot of times that'll make or break your team. And I think the way you have to look at the Ja situation, it's almost like having your best player get hurt. And it's like, you might just have to ride this one out. There's a lot of bad juju around the team right now. I don't think that the momentum's on their side, and they might need to look at this Ja thing as like a, let's shut it down and let's get him right. Let's make some changes to the roster and let's approach it again next year, because as sad as it is to see for like how dominant they were for stretches of this year, this might end up being a bit of a lost season with everything that's happened as of late. And it's a shame to see. I think the league needs Ja Morant to get it right, get it together, but we're going to see how that plays out. I think we're going to get some stories out of that over the next couple of months that are going to be interesting.
He was just real quick before we moved to Phoenix here. He was on the pedestal, kind of, you know, when you look at the league as a mm-hmm. whole, with LeBron being as old as LeBron is. I mean, let's just be honest. LeBron doesn't have a lot of time left in the NBA, although he keeps kind of pushing father time back a little bit, but it's literally the three or four foreign guys. And then like there's a big gap there for young superstars in for the Americans. And I don't think Tatum is as popular as Ja Morant is, but he's right there. But I mean, like, yeah, the NBA desperately needs Ja Morant to kind of to be Ja Morant and be out there and be exciting and, you know, lead his team consistently to deep playoff runs. And I hope that he gets it together.
Yeah, between him and Zion, you got to think maybe the most electric, fun young stars that we have. And whether it be personal reasons or injury concerns, they just can't seem to get it right. But all right, we're going to move along now to another team, probably one of the most confusing teams in the league this year. We're going to move to the Phoenix Suns. They are currently 9 games back of the 1 seed. All of their numbers are kind of hard to judge just because they've lost so many games to injury this year. Booker's only played 39 games. They traded away 2 of their biggest pieces this season for an even bigger fish in Kevin Durant, who immediately got hurt. He's going to be reevaluated in 2 to 3 weeks. We don't really know if he's going to be available for the rest of the regular season, if he'll be healthy for the playoffs. We don't know yet. Kind of amazing to me that they were able to maintain a offensive rating 13th best in the league and 5th in defensive rating, considering all the just the strange roster turnover and all the injuries they've had. That's a credit to Monty Williams. We know he's one of the best coaches in the league, but yeah, I'm just going to hand it over to you. What are your thoughts on the current 4 seed, the Phoenix Suns?
It's exactly what we talked about when this trade went down. I know that Brett was very, very happy because the NBA has never seen, you know, this trio of mid-range jump shooters before. I absolutely agree with him. But the biggest thing is injuries. They gave up a lot of their depth to get Kevin Durant. Derek was talking to us a little bit earlier today about because I was big that, you know, you probably should trade Jalen for Kevin Durant because he's Kevin Durant. And Derek's concern was, well, what if he gets hurt? And, you know, that's a legit fear. And now you don't know. I mean, this is just another case, though. You know, like, I'm kind of looking at his minutes a little bit since he's been back. And it's 26-30, and then against Dallas, he plays 40 minutes. And this is one of the criticisms that we gave Steve Nash and Jack Vaughn even a little bit with Kevin Durant when it comes to this stuff. Like, as good as Kevin Durant is, and he's top 10 player probably of all time, like, he's in territory that we've never seen before. You know, a torn Achilles, torn ACL, all that stuff, a lot of lower leg issues. And to play him that many minutes, it's not something that I would do. I would slowly ramp him up. And then, so he's going to be evaluated in 2 weeks, right? So that means he's probably not going to come back. I wouldn't be shocked if he's out for the rest of the season as they gear up for the playoffs. They can certainly Devin Booker is just playing out of his mind, you know, the last couple of games. I think he's averaging like 37, maybe. Yeah. 37, 35, 36, and 44. Like,
he's nuts.
He's been money. But one of the things, though, like, I was hoping that KD didn't get hurt, that I wanted to see kind of more of. I know they were playing OKC. I didn't know how much they were going to do this, but it was very interesting that Jason Kidd in Dallas, their whole kind of matchup against Phoenix was sagging off of Chris Paul and kind of giving that 3-point shot to Chris Paul. He looked a little bit uncomfortable. I don't know if that's something to worry about. Maybe it's something. I have no idea. We got to see it a little bit more, but you know, they barely, if Luka doesn't miss that layup, you know, who knows what could happen. And that was an easy bunny that Luka probably makes 9 times out of 10. So it's just, they need to be healthy, right? I mean, if they're not healthy going in, again, they're going to be another one of these teams, man. Maybe they can win a playoff series, but they because of how much they gave up, man, they have to be healthy going into the playoffs. And this was, if you're a Suns fan, like, yeah, you got KD. Yeah, like, you are probably going to be the favorites if he's healthy coming out of the West, maybe even to win the NBA Finals. But if he's not healthy, man, and you have, it's just one pulled hamstring or something like that, dude, your team is going to be very, very tough to get wins.
Yeah, and I think the most difficult thing about this for the Suns is going down the stretch run, they are going to have to rely on Chris Paul playing more than I think they'd like to. I thought at the deadline, or at least in the buyout, they kind of made a mistake not upgrading their backup point guard situation, especially with someone like Reggie Jackson just sitting there. He's looking pretty good for the Nuggets. I think that you need to find someone that's going to be able to eat innings and possibly play games if Chris Paul goes down in the playoffs. And now you have to worry about riding him more for more production, where he should be playing a backseat role to Booker and KD.
And they're another team, dude. You know, we talked about it, man, at the top of this podcast. Like Denver, 16 and 15 on the road. Sacramento, 18 and 13. Memphis, 12 and 21 away from Memphis. Phoenix, 15 and 19 away from home. Now, granted, they've had some injuries going on. Like, I can kind of see that. The next team, we might as well just transition into them. Golden State is 7 and 25 away from home. Like, it's just the West is very, very weird. The Clippers below them, 15 and 15.
Completely weird. And I actually think just as I was doing the like overview of this, once you go from that fourth seed Suns, and then I feel like there's a major drop off. So we will transition right into the Warriors, the fifth seed right now. They own the tiebreaker over the Clippers. But yeah, the Warriors should be the fifth seed right now. They are, like you said, 27 and 7 at home, 7 and 25 away. They're currently 14th in offensive rating, 16th in defensive rating. Curry has only played 40 of the 66 games for them. It's well documented, the disparity for them home on the road. They have a net rating of 7.7 at home, which would be a league best, but they have a negative 6.7 on the road. So yeah, it's really hard to know what to make of this team. We know they've had the injuries. We know we had the Draymond punch. We know they've had some weird roster turnover. But what do you – I mean, I know privately what you say about the Warriors. I'd like you to tell the people how you feel about the 22-23 Golden State Warriors.
Well, I mean, just as we're talking right now, we're recording this on a Thursday night. You know, they're playing Memphis on the road, and they're down 59-53. I think Steph has 19 – in the first half alone. Yeah, 15 minutes. And God, that guy's so freaking good. No, man, like I didn't know that Golden State was going to be this bad, but I definitely told everybody, I think their over under win total at the beginning of the season was like 51.5, maybe 52. I said hammer the under. Like, I just thought, hey, man, credit to them. They won the title. Winning an NBA title is effing hard. It is so effing hard. You know, like, but I thought out of all the Warriors teams that have won the title, like, that was probably the weakest one. I think, like, when you look at it on paper, Boston was probably the best team. We don't even want to get into if Milwaukee would have been healthy. Like, but you know, you look at the run that they had, all those teams that they played were a little bit beat up. So I was a little bit, you know, down on them coming into this season. Now, that didn't mean that I didn't think that they would win the title or make a deep playoff run, but I am similar to you. I am flabbergasted by their road rolls. Like, I can't believe, you know, some of the podcasts that we listen to. Like, I love listening to the Zach Lowe, but dude, every podcast you say the Warriors are going to go on a run. Like, when's the run happening? You know what I mean? Like, and I know Steph has been hurt. I think they were actually either 500 or better while he was out, which is good. Like, they're definitely hanging tough. They're 12 games back of the one seed. But, like, I just can't believe that home and away split. Like, that is just absolutely nuts to me.
For a team full of veterans, too, it's just, like, it's crazy that they can't find a way to eke these wins out.
Yeah, and everybody says, like, oh, per, you know, whatever advanced metric you want to use, that their starting lineup is the best in the NBA by far. Like, I just, it's the most bizarre thing that we've probably seen in the NBA in a long time. You know, for a team that is the defending champions, like, I hear some of these people say this stuff. Like, I know Gary Payton II was important to them. I know Otto Porter was important to them. But, like, I can't imagine, similar, if we're going to rip on Memphis for being like, I can't believe Steven Adams was this important to those guys. Like, I cannot believe that those two were that important to them, that they're struggling like this. Like, I know that Andrew Wiggins has been in and out of the lineup, so, like, they do have some injuries going on. But even when they were healthy, their home and road splits were just ridiculous.
Yeah, there was never a time this season where they looked like a completely dominant team. They looked good when Steph Curry was on the court. He's missed time. They've looked okay. It's a weird season. I do want to say, just projecting forward, I feel like we would be robbed if we don't get a Phoenix Suns, Golden State Warriors 4-5 series, and Kevin Durant's fully healthy, Steph Curry's fully healthy. Because just, I don't know if I could think of like a more primetime fun first round matchup in recent NBA history. So that would feel like almost a Western Conference Finals if both teams were fully healthy. I hope we see it. I'm going to transition here.
About that, what's extra cool about that is that basically means if that's how it breaks, right? And, you know, depending on, you know, a Clippers, Memphis matchup, like you could potentially have the winner of that series play in Denver in the second round of the playoffs. So like it would be it's wild, man. The West is definitely wild. But yeah, I mean, I will never ever count Golden State out, but it's looking pretty bleak for them. Like I said, when is this run coming from? Every time we think that they're going to go on a run, either they get blown out on the road or there's an injury. Like, you know, I'll eat my words on this, man. I thought Draymond was going to take a step back this season. I thought he looked a little rough last season until that, obviously that amazing playoff push that he had, and especially the NBA finals. Like he is outside of Steph, man. He was probably the second most important player in that series for what he was doing, just from a leadership trash talk standpoint. Like you could tell he clearly gotten all the heads of the Boston Celtics, and he's been balling this year, man. And they have a very, very, very big decision to make in the next couple months regarding him, but not going to count Golden State out, obviously, but it's looking pretty bleak for them.
All right, moving on. We're going to go to the Los Angeles Clippers, another just completely confounding team. They're currently 12 games below the one seed, pretty pedestrian both at home and on the road. They're 17-15 home, 15-15 on the road, 4-6 in their last 10. That includes 2-5 since the Russell Westbrook trade, which I'm sure we'll touch on. They are a negative 0.3 net rating on the year. But of note, which is very interesting, Kawhi Leonard, since the beginning of February, he's averaging almost 27 points a game, 7 rebounds, and almost 4 assists. So he's looking like the Kawhi of old. We know that if they're going to make a deep playoff run, he's got to be that Kawhi. It's kind of the rest of the roster that confuses me a bit, but we never see the whole roster all at once. So, yeah, I want to know what you're thinking about the Clippers right now.
It kind of the same as I've thought about them 2 months ago, 3 months ago, 4 months ago. Like, when are we going to see this team fully healthy? You know, it's been a couple of years now, and they're another one. Like, I guess I can kind of understand the Russell Westbrook signing, like similar to your point, they're 2-5 since then. And they've had a couple weird games. Westbrook has looked good at times, but he's also hasn't looked good at times. They seem to be getting on a roll kind of before, you know, Russ signed with them, rolled into the All-Star break and the kind of post-All-Star break. And now it's been rough for them. And Mikey, you could tell me that if this team is healthy, they're coming out of the West and going to the NBA Finals, or you could tell me they're losing in the first round, and I would believe you on either one.
You know, I think they're losing in the play-in game as well. Yeah, like they could lose to a lower seed. Like they're,
They have probably one of the highest variances in this Western Conference, because they definitely are, you know, healthy. You know, what you said about Kawhi, like I think there was an article from Michael Pina on The Ringer kind of about how Kawhi looks good. He's looking back, but I mean, he's still missing games here or there. Like this team is just, I don't know, man, if they can ever get healthy, watch out. But, you know, we have to see it. It's been a couple years now where this team can't get healthy.
I've always kind of equated them to like the modern NBA version of the tortoise and the hare. Like they've always thought like this, you know, all this load management, this player resting, it's like this, they've got a cheat code on everything and it never really seems to work out. It seems to be like another team is passing them by. So it could be the year that it works for them, but just confusing as hell, just like every year since they made that trade. But all right, we're going to move along to the next team. The Minnesota Timberwolves, I would say probably one of your most disappointing teams in the league, considering where you had them at the beginning of the season. Currently 12.5 games below the one seed. I believe they are the 7th seed currently. They are 20-15 at home, 14-18 on the road, 10th in defensive rating. They haven't had their whole squad together for quite a bit since Kat got injured, but he's supposed to be reevaluated soon. He could be making a return for a playoff push. Just a really interesting team to me, as far as how they've integrated Rudy Gobert throughout the season. Now they've got Mike Conley. He's feeling a little bit more comfortable with that squad. They've got Ant. He's taken the step. He's an all-star this year. Jaden McDaniels is looking like a future all-defensive team player. And do they have the pieces to make a deep run, or is this just kind of a throwaway season for them?
Yeah, man, hand up. I was wrong about them. I think I told everybody to bet the over. I thought that with the addition of Rudy Gobert, like a regular season force, but they were probably going to flame out in the playoffs either early. Maybe they could win a playoff series. Maybe they can win another one. But that's kind of what I thought about them. I was a little bit disappointed. I had a wager on Ant to win MVP at plus 4,500. Came into the season a little overweight, They definitely had some issues when they were talking about when he was saying, like, I can't dunk on anybody because the lane is too cluttered, all this other stuff. They have to trade D'Angelo Russell to get old Mike Conley so they have an adult in the room. They're kind of running some better sets. But, yeah, man, I thought before the season this team wasn't going to make a playoff run. I think for them, they probably had to get the one seed, probably had to be really, you know, similar to the Rudy Gobert in Utah. Maybe they can win a, you know, two playoff series. Maybe they get a break. Maybe they get to the Western Conference Finals. But, yeah, man, I mean, I was wrong. I was wrong. Like I said, I knew that they would be bad in the playoffs, but I did not think they were going to be this bad in the regular season. Obviously, the rumor mill's already started. I was on Riley's podcast, excuse me, about a week ago. Everyone's already guessing where Karl Anthony Towns is going to get traded to. Like, yeah, man, I am not very high on them anymore, obviously. Like, I watched a little bit of the next day of that Philly-Minnesota game, and that was just full-on embarrassment by Rudy Gobert. I mean, Joel Embiid had his way with him. Basically, that whole team. Obviously, Philly was on the last day of a road trip. They didn't have James Harden, and they just rolled right into Minnesota. And honestly, that game wasn't really close, especially in the second half, and they just kicked the everlasting shit out of them. So, yeah, Minnesota definitely probably not so much for everybody else, but one of my, if not my, most disappointing team of the season.
Okay, moving right along, we are on to the Dallas Mavericks, also 12.5 games back from the one seed. They are currently 34-33, 22-13 at home, 12-20 away, 3-7 in their last 10. On the season, this team is 6th in offensive rating and 23rd in defensive rating. Your thoughts on the Mavericks?
I mean, dude, it's going to be like, can they upset somebody in the playoffs, right? I mean, we all know how talented Kyrie and Luka are. Obviously, the defensive issues that they've had with the trade, especially, I think they really miss Dorian Finney-Smith, would look great for them. I'm not going to harp on the Jalen Brunson thing. I think I've already ripped the Mavericks enough for letting him go, and now they're in this situation. I mean, if you're Dallas, I mean, not to kind of get out of the season a little bit, but your main goal should be doing everything you can to make Kyrie happy and giving Kyrie a max and letting him stay there, because eventually you could probably flip him for maybe something. I know the Lakers got a lot of pieces now. I don't know how that would work or what would go on there, but you can't just, for what you gave up to get Kyrie, you can't just let him walk out the door. So your main mission, I know Luka is going to be out for a little bit now, but this is another team, man. You could tell me they lose in the play-in or, you know, get them destroyed in the first round, or maybe they win a playoff series. I think their ceiling is probably winning a playoff series. I can't imagine them getting to another Western Conference Finals, but yeah, it's been a disappointing season for Dallas, and I hate to be that guy because I hated it when people did it for my team, but it's the nature of the NBA, man. The clock is definitely starting to click on Luka in Dallas. You could make the comparison to LeBron. You could say they're kind of wasting a lot of his prime, or early prime, I should say. So Who knows what's going to happen with them, man. But their focus should be making Kyrie happy and how do we get better next season, because I just don't see this team making a deep playoff run.
Yeah, it is a bit shameful from a team building perspective that they just let Brunson walk. They should have just maxed him out, because now they had to trade off depth in order to bring someone back making more money than that, who might just walk in the offseason. You could understand if things don't go right, you could see things going wrong with Luka in a real bad way for them. But that's going to be a smooth transition right into the team that is going to be looking to take Kyrie Irving off their hands, the Los Angeles Lakers, currently 14 games back. And as we step into the Lakers and the teams below, I feel like we've dropped off to a tier now that is, you know, the play-in tier. These teams are all 10th seed and below. They're all pretty close, but we can kind of rush through these ones. The Lakers, 14 games below the first seed, 32-34 right now. Big thing about them is health. LeBron's expected to miss most of March with that injured tendon in his right foot. No timetable for his return. And yeah, they're getting down to the stretch run right now. I don't think we need to do too much talking on the Lakers because people hear a lot about them all over the place. But give us your brief thoughts on where they're going for the rest of the season.
I mean, I was one of the few people, well, I shouldn't say that, but I liked what they did at the trade deadline. I thought that they got a lot better. They actually look like a team now, and who knows what would have happened if they did that at the beginning of the season. I don't know what Danny Ainge was thinking with that trade, sending Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley to the Lakers for getting a protected number one pick. Like, that doesn't seem like Danny Ainge at all. That was very, very weird. But yeah, man, I don't know about this team. Like, this team can't stay healthy. I honestly have no idea. I think if they're healthy and Anthony Davis is locked in, I think they can kind of compete with anybody in the West. It's a question is if that's going to happen, right? And I think they've kind of weathered the ship okay so far with LeBron being out. Who knows what is going to happen as the season progresses. I know that they play Toronto on Friday, and then they play the Knicks on Sunday. And they have a pretty decent schedule. They don't play a team above 500 again until Wednesday, March 22nd against Phoenix. So the schedule does favor them a little bit if they can make the play-in. But I honestly, I don't think this team's going to go very far.
Okay, and then moving on to the New Orleans Pelicans, currently 14 games back as well. Another team just, they were kicking ass early in the season. I think they had it kind of locked down in a tier in their own in the third seed for a good portion of the season. And then injuries took hold of them and they fell off a cliff. Currently have a 0.7 net rating, 32-34 on the year. Just not the team we expected them to be with Zion out. He's supposed to be reevaluated in 2 weeks, but wouldn't shock me at all if we don't see Zion again for the rest of the year. So, yeah, quick thoughts on the New Orleans Pelicans. Do you think they can make any noise in the West?
No, I don't. And it's crazy to think that this team was the number one seed at the beginning of January with how good they were playing, and you were getting excited. You wanted them to play. But if you're a Pelicans fan, or I'm sure if you're in that front office, you know, if Zion were to miss the season, this is from our good buddy, you know, our partner in crime, Brett Usher. If Zion were to miss the rest of this season, we'd be looking at 114 out of 308 possible regular season games played heading into year five. Jeez. Across those 114 games, he's averaging almost 26 points per game on 64.3% true shooting. So with him, man, I mean, it comes down to something that I always say. Most people agree with me. Some people, I get some pushback, but your best ability is your availability, man. Like when Zion plays, he's unbelievable. Unbelievable. The way that team's set up with Brandon Ingram, CJ McCollum, like that team with Zion is set up to make multiple deep Western Conference playoff runs, maybe get to an NBA Finals, maybe even win an NBA Finals. But I can't bet on that because the dude can't stay healthy. Like this was a hamstring injury in January 1st or 2nd, right?
It was right after the new year, yeah.
It's March 9th. Like that is crazy. He's a big dude. Like he's going to have to get with somebody to make sure that his body is in shape. But yeah, man, I can't trust that team. I will never trust that team until I can see Zion do it for maybe a full season, maybe two full seasons. But like I said, man, they're another one. Obviously not this season, but projecting out with Zion, their variance probably is the biggest in the league, right? Because if he's out there, they have a chance. If he's not out there, they have no chance.
It's just, I got to say, it's a goddamn shame. I adopted them kind of as my like second team this season because of my love for CJ, and they just have so many likable players.
You went there actually, too, right? You went there.
I was in New Orleans. I went to their game on December 30th. I think it was the game before Zion got injured. CJ McCollum had a career high 11 threes. I was rocking his jersey. I'd like to take some credit for that great performance, but like that team was rocking at the time. They didn't even have Ingram back yet. It was just like Zion makes everything click, and they were playing the Sixers that night. Even with Embiid in there, they just didn't know what to do with him. It's the kind of player, like, we need a healthy Zion, much like we were talking about Ja earlier. Like, the league needs Zion. He's so much fun. He's such an, like, personality. And, like, come on, bring that dude back. But, yeah, let's just keep it moving. We're going to move to the OKC Thunder, one of the surprise teams of the year. I think if you would have told me they were, like, a frisky team fighting with everybody every night, I would have believed you. I wouldn't have believed that they stay in the playoff picture for as long as they did. And they've every night, they're just not a pushover of a team. They have a plus 1.1 net rating, currently 15 games back from the one seed. Hard to say if this team is actually trying to make a push for a play-in spot, but I know if I was a team ahead of them in the play-in, I don't think I want to match up with them because they could potentially have the best player in the floor in SGA, deserving All-Star this year. Probably second team all NBA the way things are looking now. But yeah, I think more about the Thunder, it's always what's going to be next with them. But what do you think about the Thunder for the remainder of this season and potentially the playoffs?
Not very high. I mean, zero for the remainder of the season and next to the playoffs. I think that if you're a Thunder fan, you came in kind of doing exactly what you wanted to do. I certainly hand up, I'll say it, like I was on kind of that bandwagon, you know, SGA, should he start asking out of OKC here because, you know, they're not going to be good again. This was obviously after the Chet injury. Like, what are they doing here? How are they building their team? All this other stuff. So, I mean, Yeah. Like, I think if when you came in to this season, if you were to tell an Oklahoma City, well, I don't even think if you were to tell an Oklahoma City Thunder fan, like, hey, SGA, when he was playing, I think he had a very, very big shot to be first team all NBA. He's obviously not going to get that now. Jalen Williams seems like a steal for them. He looks really, really good, you know, in the minutes that he's played. So, yeah, man, I mean, you're going to get Chet back next year. You're going to have SGA. You already have Josh Giddey. Like, Lu Dort could possibly push for maybe one of these all-defensive teams coming up here. But, yeah, it's a successful season based on their injuries, based on where they were going. Like, I think next season, I would not be surprised. We got a long way to go if this team was pushing to make a deep run in the playoffs. Mm. I think they could be that talented. You know, we'll kind of have to see how it goes. But they're definitely legit.
All right, and then we're going to move on to the Portland Trailblazers.
I want to ask you, so before we get into all these numbers, we know that Dame is he should make comfortably one of these all-NBA teams, right? I mean, he's been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah, if they don't shut him down or anything like that.
But so I want you to put like your GM hat on, right? Like I have talked to you privately this before. Like, I hope Dame stays with Portland his whole career, just because, like, dude, I think that's dope when a player stays with their team their whole career. Like, I don't think it's all his fault why they haven't had as much postseason success as you know, you would have liked to have. But if you're the GM, man, what are you doing? You don't have a lot of assets to trade. It's not like, you know, a top 10 player is coming out by you. Like, what are you doing?
I would say the one thing that they do have actually is a little, they have flexibility and they do have some assets they've been sitting on. I think they haven't made any kind of moves because they're waiting for the right move and they don't want to empty the barrel before something happens. I think this offseason is kind of shit or get off the pot time as far as that goes. Like, it, you've heard other podcasters say it. I know Zach Lowe is a big proponent of it, but one of, or maybe both of, Anfernee Simons and Shaedon Sharpe need to be traded in the offseason for this team to put anything meaningful about Dame. We're going to have to overpay Jeremy Grant for him to come back. We're going to have to find a way to upgrade Nurkic's spot. But the main thing that they need around Dame is they need size. They need size and athleticism. They need an interior presence. And it's like, this year it sucks that he's putting up the best numbers of his career, and it's just a fucking wasted season because they failed to put the kind of athletes around him to make it matter. They've had stretches where they've looked like maybe the best offensive team in the league, or at least a top five one. Currently, while they're integrating new players and they have injuries, they're more towards the center of the league. They've been doing a lot of, you know, seeing what Cam Reddish has and stuff like that. I like to say that they quiet quit on the season, the way they played the deadline. I don't think that they're like, you know, it's too late to shoot for like the bottom of the pack, but they're not too interested in making the playoffs. And I don't blame them. Like, a top 10 pick is much more valuable for this team going forward than, you know, getting swept in the first round by the Nuggets or what have you. It's pretty bleak, but I'm still holding out that, you know, it's not about this season. It's about what they can do in the off season. And I'm excited to see what can get done. I think that there is a move or two to be made. I wouldn't mind if we packaged that pick with one of those players and went and really got like the best available wing, someone with size, someone who can create, and then, need to shore up that interior presence. But all in all, disappointing season for the Blazers. I'm not happy about it, but I am happy about the way Dame Lillard's been playing, and he's got nothing. He can't hang his head in shame. Like, that guy's a fucking fighter. And, I know a lot of people say just like blow it up. Like, when you're a small market team, like, you don't
tough,
get Dames very
tough
often.
To do that, dude. It's tough.
Yeah, you don't get Dames really like that. That. Yeah, you may. He's a, you know, maybe every other decade kind of generational player.
Yeah,
and
I agree, man. And I think, you know, obviously we'll have a lot of time to talk about it over the summer and the offseason. I think this is probably coming up here the biggest offseason for the Portland Trailblazers. Probably in a very, very, very long time. I don't want to say in their history. You would know that better than I would. But I mean, I think the coach is certainly a question mark. As far as the last three teams, man, like, I don't think we have to really talk about them too much. Utah started off on fire. They're 15 games back. They're probably not going to make the play-in. As I touched on earlier with the Lakers, I did not like the Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley trade for what they got from the Lakers. Obviously, Russell Westbrook and a protected first-round pick. I thought that they could have got more. I know Phoenix was really big into them. I know Dallas was big into them. I just think you could have got more. Maybe I'm wrong. You know, and as far as the Spurs and the Rockets go, I mean, they're tanking. They're tanking for Wembanyama or Scoop.
They're doing what they got to do.
It sounds like James Harden is going to be going back to Houston. So, I mean,
oh God, I cannot wait. That, imagine the stories in the offseason if that happens. Like, it would be too much fun. It'd be peak NBA Twitter. Just James Harden returning because he can live that night lifestyle and not be held accountable. Like, inject that into my fucking veins.
Especially if they flame out in the playoffs. Oh my God, it's going to be
great. How good would it be?
It's going to
be.
But hey,
shout out Sahil. Like, let's make it happen, man.
A little Sahil. I love it. Hey, Mikey, I appreciate you hopping on. I know you were going to do this anyways, but thanks for helping out a little bit, talking to me, because I know Brett's traveling, and there was no way I could have done this solo with the way I'm coughing and sniffling. Thank God for the mute button so nobody really heard it too much. But yeah, man, this was fun, the West, and hopefully by next week I'm feeling a little bit better, and we can do some State of the Union stuff. And
yeah, these common colds don't usually go 9 weeks or whatever you got going on.
Yeah, man, it sucks. I think I'm going to go to the doctor, but that's neither here nor there. So, all right, man, brother, I just got to say, too, before we get out of here, Mikey Byer, producer Mikey, is dripping in Seattle swag right now, man. He's got the green Seattle Supersonics hat on, the Sue Bird Seattle Storm shirt on right now. My guy. Come on, Adam Silver, get a team back in Seattle. Get a team back in Seattle. For myself, producer Mikey, we'll see you guys next time. Peace.